So we've brought our worship, we've brought our praise. Now we want to open our hearts and hear what God has for us today. So will you just pray for yourself for a few minutes and just pray and just say, God, show me what I need to see today. God, speak to me something that my heart needs to hear today. Lord, change something that needs to be changed today. Lord, break something that needs to be broken today. Lord, heal something that needs to be healed today. Lord, help me with something where I'm struggling today. Come on, lift your voice and pray for yourself for just a few minutes. Father, we just give you praise this morning. What a privilege to be able to come into your presence. What a privilege to be able to bring our requests to you. What a privilege to be able to join the hosts of heaven in praising your name and in lifting you up. What a privilege to know that we can raise a hallelujah in the middle of hard things and in the middle of the mystery. What a privilege, Lord, this morning. And Lord, as we listen to your word, I ask, Lord, will you speak to our hearts? Lord, you know more than anybody else. I have nothing to say this morning that will have me standing out here. But Lord, my prayer is, will you say something? Will you speak to somebody that needs to hear something? Will you cause chains to be broken by the power of your word? The Bible says the entrance of your word, it brings light and it brings understanding to the simple. Let there be illumination, Lord Jesus, where darkness has prevailed. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we ask, Lord, that there will be freedom in this place today. That we will not just talk about overcoming, but that your power will be released to make us the overcomers that you have called us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Amen. You may take your seats. Okay, praise God. So, for those of you who... As Pastor Damien says, for those of you who I haven't had the privilege of meeting, my name is Aunri. In this season, I serve as one of the elders of Hope Church. And it's a real privilege to be able to bring the word to you this morning. I've stayed away from the step because I cannot stand still and I'm a bit worried I might fall over. So hopefully you can all see me and hear me okay. I'm going to be carrying on the series in 1 John that we've been doing for the past few weeks. But I want to help myself set a bit of context here. So, if you are in the room and you have been a Christian for more than one year, can you put your hands up? Fantastic. It is a church of Christians. Very good. If you've been a Christian for more than 5 years, can you keep your hands up? Fantastic. If you've been a Christian for more than 10 years, hands up. Good stuff. Now, if you've been a Christian more than 20 years, hands up. Still got hands, okay. A Christian for more than 30 years? More than 30 years, wow. Fantastic. A Christian for more than 40 years? Now, this is the point where you start to take notes because you need to get to know these people. I need to get to know these people. Fantastic. A Christian for more than 50 years. Wow, this is where we applaud. This is where we applaud. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the church family. It's so good as a Christian to be able to look up and see people who have gone this path before you. And to look and to know they have stayed in this 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They have stayed Christians. And a lot of those people with their hands up, they're still serving, they're still blessing. So it's a real encouragement. It's a picture of people who have overcome. That's what we're going to be talking about today, is being an overcomer. Thank you. Alarm is going off for a blue Nissan YH680 something. I can't read the rest of it. But if that might be your car, Where is that? Where is it? Oh, it's still going. It wasn't Alan's car. Is it in the back here? Here? Oh, okay. Okay. Can't remember where I was. Sorry. 50 years. Overcomers. Yes. 50 years. Overcomers. So yeah, it's just, I'm so grateful for people there. But yeah, I was thinking about the book of 1 John, and Claudia preached a few weeks ago, and she was talking about John the Apostle and how he was probably about 98 years old when he wrote that. And I was thinking, wow, because he had walked with Jesus, he had been part of the early church, he was still walking with, this is how I want to live my life. Like when I'm 90, if the Lord tarries and if I'm still alive, I want to still be walking with Jesus. But to get there, there's some things that we have to overcome. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So the book of 1 John, we've been looking at for a few weeks. It's interesting how John writes, and it's been pointed out a few times. Rather than just say something, so Bible Project, so rather than write it in a linear form, he writes in a cyclical form. So he keeps doing the same ideas over and over, the same ideas round and round. And by repeating the ideas, hopefully, we remember it better. This week, we're looking at 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. I'm very old school. I like to see Bibles out in the room. I like to hear the sound of pages turning. So if you have got your Bible, please turn to 1 John chapter 5, and we're going to read together. If you haven't got a Bible, your Bible app, whatever on your phone, and the verses will be on the screen as well. Thank you to the media team and Pastor Damien. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you notice how many times he said overcome in that, just in those few verses? So yeah, John, the Apostle John liked to repeat himself. And it's interesting, I was reading some of the commentaries around this, and they were saying the whole concept of being an overcomer or of overcoming has been written about by the Apostle John more than anybody else in the books of the Bible. So even in 1 John, we see him say over and over again, in 1 John chapter 2, I write to you little children because you have overcome, you have overcome. And then in the book of Revelation, when he writes to the churches, as he warns them, as he encourages them, he keeps saying to him that overcomes, to him that overcomes. What does it mean to overcome? You can talk back to me. I've had very little sleep in the past 48 hours. So if you make a bit of noise, it actually helps me as well. So what does it mean to overcome? Any takers? Anybody? To defeat? Yes. Trusting God with your life? Yes. What does the word overcome mean? To conquer. I like it. Yes. So to conquer, to defeat, to have victory, to get the better of, to win. Simply put, to win. And the idea of winning then makes us think there must be something that we're winning against. If you're going to conquer or defeat or cross the hurdles, there must be something that you're coming up against that you need to get over. And I think about the fact that John, having walked with the Lord and having lived as a Christian for a long time, probably knew very well what it was like to be trying to get over, to defeat, to conquer. But what are we trying to defeat? What are we trying to conquer? Let's look at those verses again. It says in verse 4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God overcomes the world. So that's what John is trying to show us, to tell us about defeating. It's the world. But what does that mean? Generally, when we think about the world, we think of everything around us. Now, in Bible terms, So people who are clever and know the Greek and the Hebrew will tell you that there are various words that are used in the Bible for the word, for the world, sorry. Sorry, can you switch off your phones? Can you please switch off your phones? Take a minute, actually, bring out your phone, check that it's off, please, and your alarms, thank you. I like music, I'm going to start dancing soon if another phone goes off. So, what does the world mean? What does the world mean? Different words used in the Bible to refer to the world. One word is the earth, the globe, that's the physical space that we see. Another word will be cosmos, which means an order or a system of doing things. And often when Christians talk about the world, they are talking about this order or system of doing things that is in many ways usually contrary to the way God does things. And I thought about that phrase, overcoming the world. And I was like, well, at least we know he wasn't talking about the Avengers, right? It wasn't that kind of overcoming. They were not fighting the bad guys off. So what did he mean when he said that we overcome the world? I'm going to look at a few of John's writings and just look at some practical examples of the things that he described as part of the world, these things that we need to overcome. And first, I'm going to stay with that verse in 1 John chapter 5. Because in that verse, in those verses, he's talking about keeping God's commands. And he said, the time is flying, isn't it? Okay, sorry. Don't worry. Good. That's Pastor Damien said not to worry about the time. So I'm going to just stay on what stay focused. So he talks about keeping God's commands. And I want to start there as something that is practically a way of overcoming the world, to do the right thing, to do what God asks us to do. John describes sin as wrongdoing. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17, sin is wrongdoing. So the first thing that he talks about when he talks of overcoming the world is overcoming sin and just having the ability to do what God says we should do. John describes again the world in 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. I'm going to start from verse 15, actually. He says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So again, we get a description of what this phrase, the world, refers to. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The New Living Translation will say a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and our possessions. The lusts of the flesh, the things that make us feel good. And that could be food, it could be a lot of Netflix, a lot of movie watching. It could be things that are actually quite bad for our health as well. Just the things that we go after simply because they make us feel good. And the times that we do that, even when we are being disobedient to what God calls us to. The lust of the eyes, the things that we see that we think, ooh, that's really good. So I'm going to give my all to go after this thing because it looks good. Because it looks good. And then the pride of life. The pride of life can be a very subtle one, actually, because sometimes it doesn't even seem like it's bad. You want to get to the top of your career, you want to be the best in your field, and all of that can be really good. But when the pursuit of that thing becomes stronger than your pursuit of God and becomes the main thing that is the focus of your life, then it has become a problem. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. At the moment, I am in my personal study, I'm doing reading the book of Matthew. And in Matthew chapter 4, we see Jesus being tempted. Matthew chapter 4. And I thought when I read that was his temptation, or the things the enemy tempted him with. I thought it was quite interesting. Because I felt like it helped to bring out these things that John has described to us as the things of the world. Because the first temptation that we see, so Jesus had been fasting, and then the enemy is tempting him. And it says in Matthew chapter 4, from verse 1, fasting 40 days and nights, and he was hungry. Verse 2, after fasting 40 days and nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, tell the stones to become bread. And it's that hunger. That's the lust of the flesh, is the things that satisfy our desires and our hunger. And Jesus just demonstrated it well, where he said, no, I'm not going to live by bread alone. That's what we need to be doing. He's saying, I'm not going to live just for the things that satisfy my flesh. There's more to life and more to what God calls us to. We're doing the Jesus Apprenticeship, and Sue did a talk, which I think is amazing. If you've not been following the Jesus Apprenticeship, to have a listen to it, because she talks about how we overcome the carnal nature. And it's just so useful when we look at this. But yeah, back to the temptation of Jesus. So the first one was his hunger, which to me just reminds me about that lust of the flesh. And the second temptation, the devil takes him up and he says, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. And that's almost like saying, prove who you are, your status, your position. Throw yourself down if you are the Son of God. And sometimes we are just driven to just make ourselves, just to have pride in the things that we do, the things that we are. I think social media makes this even worse, actually. So if you're on Instagram and you have followers and how many likes and you have to create content and on all of that, it's so easy to get sucked into these things and just be consumed by pride in what we are achieving, in what we possess. And then the third temptation that Jesus faces, he says in verse 8, he says, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. The lust of the eyes. Look, it's beautiful. Why don't you go after it? Look, she's beautiful. Why don't you go after her? Look, he's handsome. And your husband has grown older and he's now got a pot belly and he's not got that much money. Why don't you go after him? The things that we see that can pull us and sometimes pull us outside of what God wants us to be. That's what John is referring to when he speaks about the world. But Jesus overcame, so we can overcome. Amen. Amen. And so we've talked about overcoming, what it is. We've talked about what we are overcoming. So that pull towards disobeying God, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. I just want to talk about one more thing when we talk about overcoming. And this is a concept, again, written by John in the Gospel of John, chapter 16. But it was Jesus who was speaking. And in John chapter 16, we're going down to verse 33. So Jesus was coming towards the end. He was talking to his disciples about the fact that he was going to die. And in verse 33, he says, I have told you this thing so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is another thing that is part of this world system, trouble. Some verses will say trials. Some verses will say tribulations. Some verses will say sorrow. Hard things happen. And sometimes things happen that make us feel like we just want to stop in our tracks and stop this pursuit of God and stop in the Christian race. Hard things happen. And sometimes we can feel overwhelmed by the things that happen. I love the song that Garrel sang earlier. I love all the songs that Garrel sang earlier. But I love the one that says, it may look like we're surrounded, but we are surrounded by him. So in the midst of hard things, we can still overcome. We can still overcome. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm a Christian. Why is it happening to me? God knows. And some answers we will never get on this side of heaven. But we can overcome in the midst of hard things. So even when you feel like I've got nothing left, it's okay. God's got you. He can carry you. We can overcome. Okay. And then Paul, John, I keep saying Paul, sorry, just because he wrote so many of those books in the Bible. So if we carry on in 1 John chapter 5, the verse we're looking at. So we've looked at what overcoming is. We've looked at what our battle is against and what we need to overcome. And then he talks about how we overcome. And that's in 1 John chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 4 and 5 again. He says, "For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God." So, how do we overcome? What are the things he has put down there? We are born of God. We have faith in God. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We overcome in the place of relationship with God. And it's another of those themes that John keeps going around in his book, you know, abide in him. If you have eternal life, you know him. We overcome in the place of relationship with God. My sister-in-law had a baby last week. And this little baby doesn't care about anything else. I mean, the first few days, all she wanted to do was to be fed. She wanted to be with her mother. So when we are born of God, that's our attitude. It's not so much about what's going on outside and around. We need to have the attitude where we're thinking, actually, it's faith in God. It's walking with God. That's what keeps me. That's how we overcome. You know, in my own personal life, over the past few months, I've had stuff going on, and I wasn't thinking about this message at all, actually. It's just, we're all on a journey with God, yes? I've had things going on, and I've been thinking, God, sometimes things can be hard. Sometimes things can happen that you think, why, you know? And you don't even need, you might have a good life, just put the TV on, there will be things there that raise questions for you. You look at war happening and you think, people are dying and it's children and it's innocent people. You look around at culture and society and you see this shift from what we know to be truth and aligned with God's word. And you think there's a generation of people who are being born into this. This is all they know. This is what they accept as normal. You look around at things that can be really hard happening. You think the world is just, it can be really, really hard. And sometimes as well, I think church is so good. Being a Christian is so good in church. I always feel great in church. I love music. I love to worship. I love to pray. But it's living out these principles and walking in the love that is commanded and being a Christian outside of church. That's where it gets challenging. And I've been sort of thinking about these things and just thinking, I'm thinking, God, sometimes the darkness is a lot. Sometimes dealing with the world and the challenges can be a lot. So going through school, I loved English literature. It's one of my favorite subjects was literature, and I loved poetry. Sometimes I didn't understand the poems. That wasn't the point. I just sometimes liked the words. I liked the way that the rhythm or the flow of it. And one of the poems that I remember doing was called "The World Is Too Much With Us." The world is too much with us. I don't know that I don't like the poem itself, but that phrase, sometimes when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I just think it's just too much. That it's all a bit too overwhelming. And as I have pondered these things and I thought about this, and I don't know about you, but what I do when there's stuff I'm not sure of or I'm not feeling right about is to go back and talk to God about it. And I woke up a few days ago, maybe last weekend, and I was having my quiet time and reading my Bible, and I just felt like there was a theme that was coming through. And as if God was saying to me, look, I know that it can be hard. And I know that sometimes it's difficult to navigate these things. But what I have called you to do is to follow me. Be my disciple. Be my disciple. And I felt like God was saying to me, it's in following me that the hard things become easy. It's in following me that you find a path where you think that there is no way. It's in following me that you overcome those things that just seem impossible to overcome. And I want to say that to us today. The key to living the victorious life that God calls us to is in relationship with God. And that's not just about church on Sunday, and church on Sunday is great, but we need to walk with him. To be his disciple, you must sit at his feet. You must spend time in his word and spend time in his presence and listen to what he has to say to you. And I feel like that's God's invitation for us again today. We can overcome. We will overcome if we learn to walk with him. I think of my Christian life as a dance, yeah? If he's going fast, I want to go fast. If he's slowing it down, I want to slow it down. I want to go where he is leading. And when it is hard, I just want to hold his hand and know he is still leading. Hallelujah. So I'm going to just finish this morning by asking us just to take a few minutes to just think about our own lives. It might help you to close your eyes. If you're feeling sleepy, don't close your eyes though and fall asleep. But if you're able or if you're comfortable to, it might help to close your eyes. And just think about your life. Think about the things that are part of this world system that we've talked about that you have to deal with. Just personally, what are you dealing with? And I wonder if there are things where you think, or areas in your life where you think it's actually difficult to obey God. It's difficult to do the right thing here. Sometimes it's big things, but actually sometimes it's little things as well. The child that you never have the patience for. The colleague at work that you never have anything nice to say about. Just think about those things and just think about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What pulls you? What drives you? What do you give your time and your attention to? And it may be that actually the things that you're struggling with are more in the line of the trials that you're facing. Sometimes we face difficult things and we have no control over those things. But sometimes we face difficult things, we get into a mess that we get ourselves into. Something that has started out as something small and has grown and has grown and has become a sticky mess that we can't get out of. I want you to think about all of those things and just bring them before God this morning. If his word says that we overcome, we agree with his word, we will overcome. So lift the things up to God that you have struggled with. Lift the things up to God that you have had a hard time with. I wonder if there are things that you've been trying to achieve with your life that have become a distraction from following Jesus. And money is important and the pressures are real. But Jesus must be at the center of our lives. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So maybe bring those things before God today as we pray. I wonder if there's things that have kept you from growing in your walk with him. Things that have kept you from growing in relationship with him. Maybe you have been a Christian a long time. It's 5 years, it's 10 years. And rather than looking at where you are now and thinking, I'm growing, I'm making progress, you can actually look back and think, I remember when there was a fire burning in my heart. I remember when I was completely sold out to God. I remember a time when he was the center of my world. And you can look at your life and see where there has been a shift. Maybe you're even sitting in this room and you're thinking, I don't actually feel like I've started this journey at all. I don't feel like I know this God or that I'm in a relationship with him. I'm not quite sure whether I have been born of God. There's an invitation today just from God himself. The one who created you, the one who knows you by name. And he invites you into relationship with him. He invites you to make that commitment to come and walk with him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, learn from me. Learn from me. There's so much that God wants to teach us about navigating life. So much that he wants to teach us about living the life that he has called us to. And he calls us to come back into relationship with him or to keep walking in relationship with him so that he can teach us these things. He says, learn from me. This morning, I would love to pray with you. And the prayer ministry team will be there as well. But as we finish, and as Garel and the team lead us in another song, if you would like to pray with somebody about some of the things that we've spoken about. So we've talked about the pool of sin. We've talked about the difficulty of trials and the things that we sometimes go through. But we've talked about the fact that he calls us to be overcomers. If you feel like, I can't see this overcoming happening in my life, and you would like to stand in agreement with somebody and pray, we would love to pray with you. And as the worship team start to sing, I will invite you to come down to the side on my right. And even if you want to make a commitment to say, actually, I'm not sure that I'm a Christian, it's a good day to respond to his invitation. God has created you to win in this life. God has created you to win in this life. God has given his son to suffer and die so that you can win in this life. He has put so much into it. He knows you by name, and his plan for you is good. So don't let the enemy trick you and say it's impossible for you. It's not impossible. Don't look at what you're seeing and think, this doesn't apply to me. It does apply to you. You are an overcomer. It is your destiny in God. It is what he has called you to be. So take all of those words today and just pray them back to him. And if you do need to agree with someone, if you come up to the right, and we'll love to pray with you and just hold your hands and agree with you. Because where two or three agree, we trust that God will move in our lives and make the circumstances right.